Hello and welcome to WrestleWolf, Brother Dudes and Dudettes. This is your AEW Dynamite recap and review. I'm your host, Dr. Damian Gibson, DMD. And let's get into it. First of all, apologies for being a couple of days late. I mean, one, it was a Saturday night Dynamite, which supposedly was a big deal. But, you know, I've also had a couple of things getting in the way of recording this week, so I apologize for that. But thank you for listening anyway. We start with the usual CM Punk run around the ring, high-five everyone, and then jump on commentary. I saw a little bit of backlash towards this, where people are starting to get sick of it. I suppose it has been, you know, 4 weeks, so of course you're already sick of it. If you stop and think about why AEW do this, you know, it makes sense. If CM Punk's going to be on commentary for the TV audience, people are paying money. They want to see him. I know for the live audience, they've already seen him, but for the TV audience, they may not have tuned in on the Friday night. They tune in on the Saturday night. They get to see CM Punk. It lasts for a minute and a half and people are happy. So relax. After CM Punk's entrance, we get Aleister Black's entrance. And as always, it's huge. Punk's doing a great job of putting Black over. Dante Martin coming out to the ring with Leo Rush already looks better than Martin being on his own. The thing I noticed in this match is that Dante Martin's moveset is phenomenal, right? Like, there's almost nothing he can't do. Gravity doesn't seem to be a problem for him. What tends to happen, though, is that because there's so much in these moves, that by the time he actually makes any contact with Aleister Black in this match, almost all momentum has gone. So it just doesn't... It looks like the bumps that Black is taking are very gentle. I know there would have been a lot of people who really enjoyed this. I'm trying really hard not to be Jim Cornette about this stuff. You know, I know I kind of criticize the Bucks for similar stuff at times as well. I think there is a happy medium. Not everything has to be 25-minute snug matches like Bryan versus Suzuki. Not everything has to be a, you know, Bret Hart, Owen Hart, mat wrestling workshop. I'm not saying it has to be that, but if you... I would just maybe cut back 50% on the amount of rope stuff that Dante Martin is doing. And if I was one of the producers or coaches for AEW, then I would be suggesting that, okay, maybe you work a little bit more on other aspects of your in-ring work. So when you do the stuff that you're amazing at, and he is amazing at it, then it resonates a bit more. It's not, you know, it because it's a surprise. And also try and work on just landing the spots a little bit better. I understand that these guys would have never worked together before, so I'm not saying that anyone was terrible here or anything like that, but if people are tuning in for the first time and they see these spots where they're sort of half landing, I think that'll turn a lot of people off. But having said that, Black looked really strong at the end of this. He got the win with a roundhouse kick. So, yeah, I mean, still a great way to start Dynamite. This was a... I'm trying to think of the right adjective. It was better than solid, but it didn't blow me away. Next up, we had Lucha Express being interviewed. They get beat down by the Super Elite. The Inner Circle are in the ring now, and they're carrying on this storyline, which I've been on the record of saying that I do not like. Dan Lambert comes out. He gets the fat face dipshit chants happening. Jericho then does a whole bunch of misogynistic stuff about Van Sant. It wasn't super bad. Like, it wasn't disgustingly bad, but I think we can probably leave this shit in the Attitude Era. I don't think we need to be calling out what people do sexually, or, you know, how ugly their husband is or whatever. I just don't. I know there'll be a lot of people that's like, oh, come on, man, it's just a bit of fun. It's not a good look. You know, it felt a bit gross to me. Jericho then challenges Top Team to a 5-man tag match, which they refuse. Then they say that they will set their own challenge, but they're not going to let the Inner Circle know what that is until next week. And this is another problem that I have with this feud, and this is an example of it. It's just one long continuous promo, really. I know there was a fight on Rampage the night before, but as I said on the Rampage review, it wasn't a very good match. So because there's a lot of people involved in this feud who are not very good wrestlers, i.e. the MMA people, we have to continuously have feud after promo after promo after promo, and it's just getting really monotonous really quickly. Next up, we had the Lucha Bros versus the Super Frogs for the AAA tag belts. It was obvious that these guys were FTR. I think a few people got swerved by it. I was so happy that CM Punk called this out almost immediately. I'm not sure. It could all be a work, but it felt like there were plans for them to pretend like they didn't know it was FTR. And then when there was a reveal, for all of them to be like, oh my God, it's FTR. And I feel like maybe CM Punk might have called an audible, and as soon as he saw them was like, nah, man, no, we've got it. No. Look, if it was all planned, great, you know. And if it wasn't, still great, because Punk took the initiative and saved AEW from what could have been an embarrassing moment. Because there would have been a few reviewers that would have absolutely torn that apart. Once all of the kind of FTR palaver was moved out of the way of like, who is it? We got a really decent tag match, which FTR ended up winning. So they are now the AAA tag team champions. Thanks to Tully Blanchard and a distraction, some old school four horsemen shit here. I really enjoyed all of this. Afterwards, there was a little interaction between MJF and Andrade where Andrade paid MJF for the services of FTR, which I really like this. I like the idea of the Pinnacle almost being a, you know, muscle for hire group that MJF is doing. I really, really like that storytelling. What else do we have here? Wheeler Yuta gets absolutely squashed by John Moxley, and I think this is setting up, I mean, it seemed pretty obvious to me, this is setting up an Orange Cassidy versus John Moxley feud, and we might, if we don't get a heel turn from John Moxley, he's going to be the anti-hero in this story, and I think this works really well for both guys. It's probably time for Mox to be a heel for a bit. I'd love, you know, heel Mox sounds great to me. And it'll put Orange Cassidy over. And even though it'll be an upper mid, lower top card feud, because there'll be no belts going on, it helps both of them. Rather than the Matt Hardy, Orange Cassidy, or Best Friends versus Matt Hardy office feud that just felt like it went on for years. So I was happy to see this happening. Hikaru Shida attacks Serena Deeb backstage, so that carries on their story. So I'm happy for both of them because they deserve a story. I wonder if they'll be involved in the TBS belt. I'm not sure. Could be, I don't know, because Anna Jay. Anyway, we'll get to that in a sec. The Young Bucks and Adam Cole versus Evil Uno, Alex Reynolds and John Silver. This was a really good match. Just quickly beforehand, JR's burying the baby faces here by saying that they should win a match before showing any kind of strut in regards to the Dark Order. What is that? How could that possibly be justified in any shape or form as being good commentary? You know what I mean? Like, if he was talking about the Super Elite, fine. but he wasn't. He was talking about the Dark Order. You know, there were moments on this where he was losing his place. Punk was doing his best to... I feel like Punk was purposely making mistakes, like calling Bryan Danielson Daniel Bryan and almost calling AEW WWE, because he made such a big deal out of it. And say, oh, JR, we're making the same mistakes. It's getting in the way of the product. I don't know how many times I have to say this, but it gets in the way of the product being absolutely top shelf at all times. Anyway, Evil Uno pulls out Socko. That was a great moment. There was some fantastic chain wrestling in this from the Super Elite and then later on in the match from the Dark Order. Reynolds and Silver taking out the Young Bucks and then kissing Adam Cole was a nice little moment. Adam Cole getting the pin from Panama Sunrise is the right thing. He carries on with his winning ways. I think that Punk and Cole are going to continue to win and then eventually will go head to head with like a 20-0 record each. Maybe a belt will be involved. Maybe it won't. You wouldn't probably need a belt for those two. And Cole will go over. That's my prediction. I may be wrong, but I doubt it. What else have we got here? Oh, yeah. So after this match, Jungle Boy comes down, attacks Cole, grabs a chair, takes out Brandon Cutler. And the crowd goes absolutely ballistic for him. I don't think I said this on air. But I definitely said it to Matt in the last couple of weeks, where I thought that if the four pillars were Darby Allin, MJF, Jungle Boy, and Sammy Guevara, that Jungle Boy might be the weak link out of those four. I don't know, man. Maybe he's not. Like, and that's, you know, I'm just saying in those four wrestlers, he's probably the weakest that I can see. His promos aren't great. His in-ring work is very good, but people genuinely love him, and that's, you can't buy that. You know, there's just something that connects him and the audience. And you know, there's very few wrestlers who get that. You know, Orange Cassidy is another one. John Moxley is another one. I mean, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk are the obvious ones. Adam Cole. Now I'm reeling off lists of people. but it's probably better to look at it through a lens through WWE, because there are people who have a connection with the crowd. Finn Balor is one, who isn't necessarily the best promo, although when Finn is doing heel stuff, he is quite a good promo. But the crowd just resonate with him. They just love him. They want him to win. And Jungle Boy has that. So, and look, he's only a baby. He'll get better on the stick and all that kind of stuff. But anyway, I just noticed it with this crowd. With a smaller crowd, it just, like, the pops weren't as big, but the ones that did really pop were huge. I'm really enjoying these Arn and Cody promos. That was what was next. Arn's taking Cody Rhodes to the Nightmare Factory. Interesting to see that it's essentially just kind of like a garage. Like, it's a big shed where they, you know, I mean, that's kind of what most gyms and stuff are, but I, for some reason I had it in my head as being more palatial than what it actually is. Maybe they just hired it for this particular promo. But anyway, Arn's got the majority of the people from Nightmare Factory. They yell at Cody because he's late, saying that he's being too Hollywood. Red Velvet slaps him across the face. And essentially Arn gets him in the ring and gets the Nightmare Collective to just randomly attack Cody, doing sort of Rocky 3, Rocky 4 type training, where he has to go back to his roots to learn how to be the wrestler that he was before. And I really like this. It essentially let us know that he's going to go up against Aleister Black again next week. That's the part that I don't like. I feel like Cody is so far back in the pack, and they even referenced that the crowd's booing him and blah, blah, blah. No one ever booed his dad. And yes, that's all great self-referential stuff, which AEW does all the time. And I really enjoy it. It's awesome. I mean, these are the moments that I love Dynamite. But it It needs more build up. You know, I mean, this is already Cody versus Black 3. Look, trust the process, blah, 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 blah. If it means that Cody loses next week, which will probably happen, and then he has to go back even further and do more stuff with Arn, then I'm cool with that. But if it doesn't, then, you know, they've wasted any goodwill that they're building with these promos. And letting Arn kind of be the main guy in these promos is the right move. Anyway, we'll see. I'm kind of catastrophizing a little bit there, but speaking of promos, MJF comes out and cuts one of his best for a while. And essentially he's doing crowd work, basically. He's essentially like an insult comic now who's doing crowd work. Comes out and he's, you know, back in Miami and Florida and da 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 da. It was an A-grade promo. He basically says that, you know, Darby Allin said that he wouldn't be able to break him mentally and that he has. And to prove that, he's going to get a ref to come to the ring, count to 10. You know, and if he doesn't show up by the 10 count, then MJF has broken him. We get to the 9 of the 10 count. Lights go down. Come back up. It's Sting. And he's got a baseball bat. He takes out Wardlow with that. MJF runs out of the ring. And Sting stands tall, as they say, in the ring. And, this feud bubbles along nicely. Really liking this. Really liking this. MJF's doing a lot of good work on a few different fronts here, and I'm loving it. Anna Jay is cutting a promo. Britt Baker interrupts and basically says that she's nothing without the Dark Order. Tay Conti. Anna Jay does not like this and just clocks Britt Baker. They have a run-in, and JR calls it a cat fight. So just a little bit more misogyny here on AEW on our Saturday night show. We get a great Miro promo where he basically is asking God why he was forsaken by being beaten by Sammy Guevara. And essentially he can't go home to his wife until he's redeemed himself. We got like four really good promos in a row here. But the best one was Hangman Adam Page coming to the ring. And basically this promo will be known as the Cowboy Shit promo, which if you don't follow wrestling, you'd be like, what? The Cowboy Shit? Anyway, he basically is saying that, the crowd chanting Cowboy Shit is, Cowboy Shit is what keeps him going. And that, you know, all the good parts of his personality is what Cowboy Shit is, you know. When you help out a friend, that's Cowboy Shit. When you get back up after you've lost something, that's Cowboy Shit. And, I feel like Hangman has always been pretty good at promos, but this is next level for him and really kicks along the Kenny Hangman story. I mean, really, it's just the Hangman Page story now. Everyone is gagging for Hangman to win this belt and take it off Kenny, which will happen at Full Gear. I'm almost certain of it. They have to pull the trigger, pardon the pun, and it's been almost 2 years. So, and then Bryan Danielson gets a win. I'm sticking to that, guys. I will not mention who Bryan Danielson wrestled this week. So I have a question here that came to me via Gmail, and I thank you for the email. This is, I'm just trying to find it. That's why I'm sort of stuttering a little bit here. So this is from Hitman64. You didn't sign your email, so I'm just going off the Gmail account. But anyway, he, I assume, Hitman, asks, is this run of CM Punk's in AEW as bad as Bret the Hitman Hart's booking in WCW? So I was trying to remember that off the top of my head because I couldn't get the email to come up. That's basically the question. No, I don't think that at all. look, I can understand people being... I can understand... Look, Hitman, I can understand your disappointment. If you had put expectations on AEW to, like, when Punk came in, he'd fight Kenny Omega and then Hangman Page and then Bryan Danielson, and then he'd tag up with Bryan Danielson, have a match against the Bucks and blah, 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 blah. And then he wrestled Daniel Garcia, Darby Allin, Will Hobbs, and Matt Sydal. Like, I can understand that that's disappointing. But there is a plan. And the plan is Adam Cole. That will be the feud that those two... I mean, those two are... It's pretty easy to get a gauge of what feuds are going to happen, because if either of the wrestlers mention it, especially on air, there's usually been some talk about it, and they won't go into bat for themselves and book angles without the tick off from Tony Khan, no matter how big a names they are, even if it's CM Punk. So the fact that Punk keeps talking about Adam Cole being cocky and that he had a say, and, you know, that he was a big influence on Adam Cole, they're telegraphing it, man. So my advice would be to just be a bit patient, and just enjoy the matches for what they are. I thought that Sydal-Punk match was really good. I really enjoyed it. And it showed that the signing of Matt Sydal was legitimately a good one. He's a mid-card guy. He could be a top tag team guy. So, I can understand that it's been, you know, what, 4 weeks, 5 weeks since Punk debuted, and people are starting to get a bit nervous that he's not going to be used correctly and all that kind of thing. But I would just get you to calm down a little bit and trust in the process, because there are other stories being told. The worst thing that AEW could have done is brought CM Punk in and Bryan Danielson in and then just given one of them the belt and then had the two of them go face to face, because it diminishes all the work that they've done over the last 2 years with people like Kenny Omega, Hangman Page, even Miro. It's great that AEW has these big names at their disposal, and they will use them. They absolutely will use them, but not everyone can be the champ. And I like the fact that Kenny Omega is still the heavyweight champion and will go up against Hangman Page, because that was the story that they were telling. And I love that Sammy Guevara is the TNT champion and beat Miro, because that's the story that they were telling. And that Brian and Punk and Adam Cole and Ruby Riott, for that matter, and Aleister Black, all these amazing signings will have to fit in with the structure that is AEW, and that they don't dictate terms as far as being top guys, because they already are. You know, whatever feud they're in, because the booking is usually pretty damn good as far as storytelling is concerned, those big names, you just got to look at John Moxley. John Moxley is still one of the biggest names in AEW, even though he hasn't held the title for a bit, because he's been telling good stories, you know, whether it's with Eddie Kingston or on his own. So, I don't think the CM Punk's booking is... sorry, I'm not laughing at the question, but I just feel like it's a little hyperbolic Hitman was not done right when he came to WCW, and I get that, and I understand the fears that that's happening to Punk, but I can almost guarantee you that that's not what is happening here. If we, look, put it this way, Hitman, if Punk hasn't been in a major feud in and around the belt in 2 years' time, which is probably what we were looking at with Hitman in WCW, write back to me and then we'll agree with each other. But 5 weeks in, I'm not ready to pull that trigger just yet. But thank you for emailing in. And you can do that by sending us an email at wrestlewolfpodcast@gmail.com. As you just heard, I'll read it out. Absolutely have a conversation with you about it. No question is, you know, unless it's disgusting or something, you know, I'll read them out. But anyway, thank you for that, Hitman. I appreciate it. Let's wrap it up there, I think, people. Thank you for sticking with us, even though the episodes have been a couple of days late this week. Everything will go back to a normal timetable. So that'll be NWA will be out tomorrow, then Impact, then Rampage. No, sorry. NWA, then Dynamite, then Impact, then Rampage, and then the news. We'll be back on Sunday. So, look, I'm going to leave it there, guys. Thank you so much for helping. If you want to help out even just a little bit more, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. But until then, brother dudes and dudettes, may your wrestling be good wrestling, and good night.